I was saying, no, is this my radio interview or my TV? How's it going, Mark?
Let me check. Pretty well, thanks.
Good.
How are you
good,
doing?
Good, fine.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Life is good?
Life's going all right. Yeah.
Life would have been better if the CD they sent me of Missing Persons' Greatest Hits that they made up wasn't a blank CD. That would have been good.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
are you not familiar with Missing Persons?
Oh, I am quite familiar. But I wanted to put a couple of little clips on there, but I didn't have any of the music here. So.
You can just sing the tune. Do you hear me? Plug it in.
There we go. Yeah. Well, my destination's always unknown.
Oh, so. There you go. That's going to be the name of my book.
That's a good idea.
I wrote a book, and it's pretty much, as you know, I've tied the thread in from the beginning to the end of when I met Frank Zappa and my likes and dislikes in the music business, and how instead of being a movie star, I was Mary on Joe's Garage. And it's a little bit of philosophy and this and that and et cetera, but that is definitely, to coin a phrase, Destination Unknown.
Talk a little bit about Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, I was in Sinatra's video.
Talk about him,
well,
too.
You know.
Doobie-doobie-doo. What's that?
Did you know that?
What?
That Missing Persons, we were in Frank Sinatra's video. It's called L.A. Is My Lady, and actually Quincy Jones was responsible for that. At the time, he had just done the last video with Frank Sinatra. LaToya Jackson was in it. A lot of people were in there. We had cameo appearance, me, Terry, and Warren.
Well, I'll make you feel at home then. Yeah. L.A. is my lady.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You know it.
Wow, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's cool.
We've already established that trivia here at PNP Network. That's good.
Oh, excellent.
I like trivia. Tell me a little bit about Frank Zappa. How did you meet him, and what did he do for you?
Frank Zappa actually is a very long story in my life, but I'll tell you as much as I can.
Okay.
In a roundabout way. It was about 72, the summer of 72, if I'm not mistaken, 71 or 72. And I went to see him. He was playing at the, well, I was trying to get to see him. He was at the Orpheum Theater in Boston,
mm-hmm.
Massachusetts.
Right.
And my friend Norman Zeidel was an usher out front. At the time, they take you by the flashlight and look at your seat number and put you in your seat. There was no standing up or, you know, no rowdy. All alternative seating.
Mm-hmm.
So let me make a long story short. I got to see Norman out front, and Norman says, "Oh, I'm sorry, Dale. It's sold out. There's no way you're going to get in to see Frank tonight." I said, "Norman, I have to see Frank. There's no way. I'm not seeing this concert tonight." Now, of course, I had never met Frank before that, and I was only about 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, "There's one way in. Now get to the left, go up the fire escape, which was rickety and old and rusted, to the third floor, and there's a broken window there. Open up the window, push it up, you'll climb down the other side onto a toilet, open the door, and you'll be in backstage." I said, "Sure, you want me to go do that in my heels with glitter on, and I've got green hair and hardly any clothes on?"
Uh-huh.
I said, "Sure, okay, girls, let's go." So I turned around to my two little blonde friends and said, "Okay, we're climbing the fire escape because we're going to see Frank,
mm-hmm.
no matter what." So we run around the side. I go first, of course, excuse me, up the fire escape. I get to the window. I open the window. I pull open the window, climb in the other side, land on the toilet, open the door, and of course, part of my story begins in Frank standing right there, Zappa.
Uh-huh.
And I said, "Frank, I'm your biggest fan, please, Frank, I gotta see the concert." I was such a kid, I didn't know what a backstage pass is.
Uh-huh.
Well, he turned behind him and said, "Smothers, give that girl a backstage pass." That's the first time I ever heard that line.
Huh.
And it went on from there, I can guarantee you. And that was sort of the statement of my life. I'd give that girl a backstage pass. So at that point, Frank went on stage. I was there at the show at the end. We left in my car, which was a convertible lent to me by my mother because I was having my permit then. I must have been 15, I think. I could probably lock in the numbers if I tried to think about it hard enough. But anyway, we went to Ken's Pub, and we had the whole band was there. We all had something to eat, and I had to talk to Frank Zappa, who I idolized and couldn't believe that I was sitting with. And then took him back to his hotel in Cambridge to kiss me on the forehead goodnight and said goodbye. And then, of course, I thought I'd never see Frank again in my life, and I was honored to have had him in my presence. And I was a very good girl and had to get home by midnight, so, of course, I did such that.
Mm-hmm.
4 years later, I was elected to be the hot Valentine at Hugh Hefner's house. I was 21 years of age, and I was the Playboy Bunny of the Year for Boston, 1976. I go to Hefner's house, and Hefner waves to me to come up the stairs, and I kind of got a stage fright there with Hef. Said, excuse me, but I've got to leave. I got in my Firebird, drove out. This all happened in California because I had driven myself there from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I drove away and went down to this place where I knew my guitar player friend would be, so I could probably go palm off a bow, $10 bill to get some lunch that day, because, of course, I was just a tiny little blonde girl and having no money and nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked on to the place where I knew he would be playing, and I heard at that moment Frank Zappa's music. So I walked over to the door, which was a warehouse door, and it had a big giant sign on the door, and it said, if you value your life, do not open this door. At that given moment, I was all up for grabs.
Mm-hmm.
I threw open the door, and there stood Frank, and Frank said, what are you doing here from Boston?
Mm-hmm.
And he remembered me from those 4 years ago, from that given time, which of all the hundreds of thousands of people that he's ever been in front of. He said, how are you? He said, come on in. I said, oh, Frank, I'm so sorry to disturb you. He said, that's okay, come on in. After he said, if you value your life, then open this door, but I did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So at that point in my life, I connected again with Frank. And then he said, here, this is Terry Bozio on drums, Eddie Jobson on keyboard, and that's Patrick O'Hearn on bass. We'll be here till later. Why don't you come back and say hello to us? And right now, we're going to go back to work. He was a gentleman from the get-go, and always was, in the light of myself. Frank always treated me with respect and vice versa. I held him in the highest of my honor, and there's nobody like Frank Zappa in my eyes in the whole world. He replaced a mentor for me that I thought would never, ever be. And I have great, great faith in my God of my life that saves me at all points. And when I met Frank, I gave him that power. And what he drew out of me, he said that day, Dale, you need a job because Hefner threw you out. And I said, I do, Frank. He said, okay, we'll meet you at the studio because we're making an album, and it's called Joe's Garage. It was an album then. He said, we're making Joe's Garage, and you're Mary. And I thought, I looked back at him, and I said, but Frank, no, Frank, I can't do that. I'm not a singer, Frank. I don't even know how to sing or anything, Frank. You wouldn't want me in the studio. It can't happen. I came to Hollywood to be a movie star, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
And he laughed. And he laughed out loud, and I can remember Frank's incredible, this infectious laugh that he would laugh and take the rest of us down with him. If you let yourself be that way, then I always was fearless in all levels, and I was inspired since a tiny, tiny person to be myself. My father was my greatest friend, and he always told me unconditionally, anything I want was mine, and that was my attitude. But it was always an unconditional mine, and everything that always came to me, I flourished it through myself and gave back as much as I could. And that's an incredible lesson. And as a matter of fact, that's what Frank taught me. It's not about the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing about the money.
You mentioned that Frank introduced you to his band.
Yeah, and when he did that, and he introduced me to my band, he said, can you come back later? So I came back later. Terry Bozio walked outside because he cracked his cymbal. We made a date for a coffee at midnight. Guaranteed, I reassured everybody I was not a girlfriend of Frank's.
Mm-hmm.
Never in a million years. And my respect for Frank, I would only wash his feet if I could.
Mm-hmm.
In humble, humble respect for everything he's ever taught me, from the first day I saw him till the last day I saw him, and I did see him for 50 minutes just on past the week that he died, that he passed away.
Well, Terry must have thought he died and went to heaven.
I don't think he left yet. I think he's still over here looking at what we're doing. And anybody that's responsible in the music business, they're not going anywhere. They want to see if the records are going to sell here or there. We all got our eye open. One eye open, as Terry Bozzio would say.
Well, I think it's we have something in common, you and I.
We do?
Yeah, we look better without clothes on. And prefer to wear nothing.
There you go.
But we're both in the Northeast, though.
We're right out of my mouth.
We're in the Northeast, and we're both freezing.
It's a little chilly, though.
Doesn't make any sense. But there is some sense to it, I guess.
Yeah, well.
You know, now, I assume Missing Persons is touring and doing some new stuff as well?
Well, I tell you, it's a crucial moment for the real Missing Persons in this lifetime because I've been asked to put the real Missing Persons together with Terry and Warren.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people are interested, and our listeners, and many, many people, not to mention any names, but, you know, people do want to see us back together and do a tour.
Sure.
And I can't get an answer from Terry Bozzio. I mean, he just doesn't call back, and he's not concerned. And I had an episode recently with the silicone boobs, as they want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
And I had some ruptured silicone boobs, and I've been on this Dow class action case for years trying to settle up what they, all the destruction that's been done. And now I have to settle into an eye disease and probably, you know, eventually just live in the darkness sooner or later.
Did you replace them with saline or did you just leave
them? Yes, I did. I did. I've had them replaced. They both ruptured. I had them replaced over the years and now, but then as you grow old, the saline is, you know, it's ruptured into your system and it really just leaves a kind of a film over things, you know, and then just eventually it breaks down your system. So I'm just hoping, I turned 49 the other day, and I'm hoping that maybe, you know, by the time I'm 50, I'll move up to a little higher on the mountain where I live now, and just stay on ground level.
We're the exact same age, actually.
Really?
Neither of us look it, though, which is good.
There you go.
You know? I tell people I'm 39, they buy it. No one ever argues. So I figure that's good.
Yeah.
Now, you've been doing a lot of solo stuff as well, right?
I did. Actually, right now on my website, it's dalebozzio.com, I put my songs on there because I'm very grateful to be... I love to give away music. I don't find that such a bad idea. I mean, I think that the music business needs to find a new way. As intelligence grows and technology, we all need to get above it as well and find different ways to pack up our bank accounts. And this, where there's, you know, this type of music and industry, there's always a way to make that happen. I mean, even now I think all these record companies could just put their records, all their catalogs right there on their website for 50 cents. Everybody could go by and pick up whatever single, download it, take it home, put it, play it next door, outside, have a party, whatever.
Well, the way it used to be is gone. Those days are gone.
Well, you know what? It can all come back. People need to lighten up and let the greed subside and deal with everybody as it should be their parents or their mother or their father, sister, brother. I mean, come on. It's time to get real.
Yeah, the problem is that there's only a few companies that own all the record companies now.
Well, it doesn't matter. Even if there's only one company, guess what? There won't be any records bought if they don't do something that's going to coincide with these poor children that don't have that kind of money that they expect consumers to come up with. So either they find a way or they won't sell them anyway.
Well, yeah, but of course, you know, companies like Clear Channel, they own radio stations, 1,200 radio stations, they own record labels, they own venues. They own venues so that if you want to do a concert, you have to go through them as well. It's very difficult.
Let me tell you, you know, one hand washes the other and everybody's going to come to that term. It has to be. It's the way of politics. It's the way of the world. There's no gray area when everybody thinks this is... What do you think? There's a middle where everybody's going to fall in the hole and get away with murder? It doesn't happen. There's truth and there's false. It's what you think... There's in the middle? There's no in the middle. I don't know why people think this. whether it be government, religion, what have you. You know, you can fight for individual laws, and you can fight for the law to marry a boy or marry a girl. You can fight for the law to marry a cat. You can fight for whatever goddamn law you want to fight for. But, I mean, I don't see women standing up who have been the minority from the beginning of time. Do they say they want their own law? Does a woman say, I want my woman law to stand up to your law that has to do with man? Well, when it comes down to that, babe, we got some serious trouble on our hands. And the woman is always the one who's willing to communicate, to give in, and let go. Well, you know what? When that stopped, all these guys that think they made the laws and they're the presidents and they're going to rule, they will subside. They will. And it's just the patience. And who can wait longer? Because there's always, there's more ways than one skin cat. And if that be your intent. But I can guarantee it's only a matter of time. And you see it. You see it all around the world with people that are up in arms. They don't know what to believe and who to say to how to what. And they're not going to tell you the truth because they're afraid you'll condemn them for what they say. So you find me the freedom of speech. And that was what Frank Zappa was all about. Give your money to the library, he told me. That's what he told me at the end of his last words. Keep the freedom of speech alive. You know, you have all these stickers on all these records. What are they saying that for? Just because my mother, who's 85 years old, has to pay more taxes because I have to walk into the store with my 13-year-old and buy him the record that he's going to get anyway?
Well, you know, the talking about censorship, what's going on with the radio networks now, and guys like Howard Stern.
Well, that's another story,
that's
though.
Pretty bad,
but,
too.
But on the radio, it's too fan-free, okay? That's one way where I do have to say, look, I definitely don't want to be discriminated by a man on the radio, be it Howard Stern or the President of the United States, okay? Discrimination to woman, that's wrong, number one. Next, number two, freedom of speech is fine, but most women do not stand up and abolish and abandon and rape men. Women have a sense of being, and wonder why? Because we make life. We deliver the babies, we grow the babies, we deliver the baby, okay? Without the woman, there is no Prince Papa, anyone. So there's no argument there. You understand?
Well, yeah.
There's no way around it.
I think that if people on the radio want to say what they want to say, no one has to listen to it if they don't want to.
Well, that's fine and dandy, but when it comes to discrimination, there's always going to be someone to holler. That's the way of the world. It's different. Discrimination is one thing. Freedom of speech is another. Yeah. And that's where they get you. That's where they get you. That's why you can't have Fred Durst singing, excuse my language, you know, F-U-C-K, on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen because you will be haywire. People will go back to running nude in the street. There have to be rules.
I don't have any problem with nude in the streets.
I don't.
We'd all be safer if everybody was nude in the streets.
Right.
No concealed weapons.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, you know? Tell me a little bit about your relationship with Prince. I know that he actually landed you guys a record deal, right? Or at least you, anyway.
Yes, Prince is a genius. He's an awesome friend of mine. He is a real particular guy. And when I made the record, which was called Riot in English, on his label, Simon was one of my first dance hits, and it crossed over. It was in Europe at the time, and he got a little tripped out because I was supposed to go over to Europe to do a big press tour. It was Christmas Eve, and my father, in '88, had a heart attack. So I came back to Boston, left everything in L.A., and never went back. Mm. And called Prince and said, I really can't go to do this promo tour for this record that he had put so much money and work into and effort. And I know he, you know, really believed in it, and it crushed the business sense, which really wasn't right, because there was nothing. I'm in the middle of an interview.
But you got to do a hello.
Okay. Yeah, I'm listening.
But you have to do do what's best for your family. You know, that's your number one priority.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, he's not lenient when it came to the business end of things. It was like, what? What are we talking about? The business? Or are we talking family? There's two different things, and that's why he happens to be a successful individual. But you have to understand the sense of, once again, that's what we get to, which is where I wish the patience would come in between men and women. Women think and act differently. It's a law for them, okay? It's the way it is. There's no way around it. And it's very important that it stays that way for the man, because if we didn't have the woman's touch and feelings, we would have dismay here in this world. And believe me, I stand behind everything I say, because I'm a heterosexual person, and I believe in the family, and I believe in anybody's family. If you have a family, whether it be elephants and pigs and cats and dogs, that's a family. That's awesome. Families are important. The bond is what makes us grow and prosper here. But as far as Prince said no, he said, okay, great. I had a six-year contract with him. He said, here, here's some money. Goodbye. See you later. Don't call me anymore. And I said, well, my father's going to die, so I'm going to stay by his side no matter what, and I'll have to talk to you later.
That's not cool. See, that tells me a lot about him. You know that.
Well, I've learned in this. You know, sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget. That's
money,
all.
Money is blinding sometimes, and that's too bad.
Everything can be that way, you know. Really, it's
now,
within the person who's dealing with the trouble.
Now, are you actually performing anywhere that we can mention to folks?
I'm playing in Connecticut in April. I think it's about the 14th. I'm playing at the, a small place here, Corner Pocket Cafe in Connecticut. And then I've got a couple of shows in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I personally tried to call Terry Bozzio yesterday or the day before, and I've talked to Warren Cucurullo, and I asked them to put the missing persons back together again.
Mm-hmm.
So that maybe we could get into that, all that, you know, new, confangled, brand new, you know, hello, the 80s are back.
Great.
And which would be dynamite. We could all make amends, and we actually had a new a deal on the table, but never went through with it, so I don't know.
When did you get divorced?
The divorce was 79.
Wow.
I mean, 89. Yeah, no, 87, sorry.
I was going to say, because 88 is when you went out.
Yeah, 87, 88, divorce. Yeah.
Wow. So you guys don't even talk much?
No, we talked in 2001 because we played three shows together, me, Terry, and Warren, because when I sat in front of Frank for the last time, which will conclude my Frank Zappa story, I said to Frank, of course in tears and bewilderment, I asked Frank what I could do for Frank. I said, Frank, what can I do for you? Because you've done everything for my life, and you made me what I am today and gave me incredible faith in my musical ability that I would have never believed in my life that I could do. And he proved it to me that I was wrong, and I owe him for that. Everything about me, all my character, voice, everything that I could do, the fact that I could sing those songs, of missing persons songs and everything, and just go on to make my own record with Prince, it's astounding to me. Because personally, I can't read a note of music, and I can't write one. I haven't got a clue what any of the notes are, except for Every Good Boy Deserves Fudge, and so on.
Now, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Boston.
What part of Boston?
Medford, Massachusetts.
In Medford?
I went to Medford High School. Medford,
really?
And I was born in Medford Memorial Hospital.
What was your maiden name?
Consalvi.
Oh.
My father was a Roman, and my mother's French. Yeah.
So you grew up in Medford. Do you ever get back there?
I do. I have very good friends there. My best friend, Nancy Lee, and I, all my friends, they're still there.
Yeah, well,
I've stayed friends with everybody.
So. Next time you're in Boston, you should give me a call. Maybe we can have lunch.
Oh, sure.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That would be awesome.
We could have lunch.
Yeah, we could go over to the, what do you call that, the Hard Rock Cafe they have on there?
They do, yeah.
I heard they have Zappa things on the wall.
They do, yeah.
I haven't seen them.
They have tons of cool stuff on the wall there, actually.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
But I believe they're either moving or they're in the middle of moving moving soon, so, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, that building got bought by somebody, and I think they're moving somewhere else.
Oh, wow. Yeah. There are so many changes in Boston all the time.
There are. And,
yeah.
And you've chosen to live, you live what, in New Hampshire or something?
Yeah, I live in New Hampshire. Mm. It's Lake Chocora.
Are you remarried?
It's remote. Oh, yes. I'm married now the other day for 14 years.
Well, congratulations.
Same man.
Really?
Two children, and of course, one is 13 and one is 12.
Hmm. Are they either musically inclined?
Both of them are very seriously inclined.
Really?
Yeah, the 13-year-old is a bass player, snowboarder, skateboarder.
Uh-huh.
And he just won an award the other day here up at Adatash. He's an avid snowboarder.
Yeah.
And my younger son is a drummer.
Oh, my son is also a skateboarder, a snowboarder as well.
Oh, there you go, see? There you go, those kids
but I have
are
a
wild.
Daughter. I have a daughter who's a gymnast.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's very nice. So a daughter, I think, keeps things a little mellow. Boys are jumping and going crazy all the time.
Well, girls whine a lot.
Do they? I tell you, I'd rather hear some whining than crashing and banging. All right.
My son will go in and will come home and go in his room. My daughter will talk my ear off for an hour and a half about school, which
well,
is
that's
nice.
Nice.
It is nice.
You got a buddy, see?
It is nice.
Girls are always the favorite, I think, of the dad.
Yeah, I have no favorites. I love them both just the same.
Well, you're a good boy. You're a good boy.
Now, if folks want to book Dale Bozzio, they can go to dalebozzio.com to get your your calendar.
Yes, my agent is there, and they have those little tabs now.
And lustigtalent.com.
Yes, exactly.
We're gonna put both your websites.
Richard's Dynamite.
Yeah.
He's a wonderful man.
Yeah, we're gonna put
nice.
We're gonna put lustigtalent.com and dalebozzio.com.
Oh, okay.
On our website with the interview. So people can go right there and visit.
Oh, you're so sweet. Oh, that's good. See what I mean about this technology thing?
It's
now,
cool.
If you lost somebody, watch out, because they'll find you.
You need to visit pmpnetwork.com if you haven't been there yet.
No, I haven't.
You had to go down there.
All right. Now, what would that be called?
It's PMP, like Peter Mary Paul, network.com.
PMP.
Network.com.
Network.com.
And you're going to be up there. I think we'll put a picture of you up there, too, because why not, you know? Why not? No.
Okay.
So if you want to send an email and say, hi, I'll send you a special picture of me.
Oh, all right. See? All right.
Well, Dale, it's a pleasure talking to you, and hopefully when you get to Boston, we can say hi to one another.
Yes, definitely. And I'm so thankful that you asked me about Frank, because that's what Frank said. Oh, I meant to tell you. Frank said you need to put Terry Bozzio and Warren Cucurullo back together and play Mental Hopscotch for me.
There you go.
That's what he asked me, so we did. And I went to Terry and he did it, and we did it, but doing it again, I don't know. We'll try. We'll have to hope Frank sends a little stardust down here.
Well, you know, after the snowstorm, find a little patch of yellow snow and honor
there you
Frank.
Go. And pray.
Yeah.
I
All right.
love you, sweetie.
Take care.
Thank you so much for calling me.
You're welcome.
Okay?
You know, we could talk more, you know, another time.
Yeah, you call me anytime.
Yeah.
And just think, if you're driving up here to this crazy snow, call me.
We can just chat.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay, God
Bye-bye.
Bless you.
You too.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.